Father, we are very grateful to you for such a great evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. So, this guy, I was thinking that because he is coming from the north, he should be happy that a university has come to the north. And then he said, your university is a mockery. And the reason why he said that was that we were staying at School of Hygiene, taking our bath at Kamina Barracks, and then going to lectures at Islamic Science Secondary School. So it wasn't easy at all. But you know something? I told him, look, my university is not a mockery. My university is a cosmopolitan center for science and arts and a vanguard institute of learning. That is what I told the guy. That guy was looking at me. I said, no, that's my university. And you see, this thing is coming from the there's only one university in the world that has such, you know, catchphrase and whatever I'm talking about, and that is Harvard University. So in effect, I told a guy that my university is a Harvard University. It's Harvard. It's a cosmopolitan center for science and arts and a vanguard institute of learning. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. I believe that the seeds that were sown in our lives way back in those times have brought us to this place. I told you yesterday that my first appointment at a crusade on a park, I got that opportunity from the Archbishop, Bishop Patrick Bruce, hallelujah, at the Nyangpala campus. And after that one, I realized that, oh, so I can preach anywhere. And then we began to go to Blahagu and some other places to, we had a generator, we bought the generator in school. We had the generator. And then I didn't understand Dagbani. So I had an interpreter who was interpreting from English to Dagbani. We moved to the villages all over Tolong Kungugu district, all over the place, preaching the word of the Lord. And I think that it's as a result of the seeds that were sown in the life of some of us. That is why we are here. Hallelujah. And we thank God. I thank God for all the anointings that I have gathered in this UD, from Bishop Kakra to Bishop Charles and everyone, and to my colleague pastors and reverend ministers who are here, you are an inspiration to the body of Christ and to me. Hallelujah. And seeing some of you here today is an encouragement to the glory of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Please close your eyes with me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, we want to thank you for today. We pray that today we shall be a blessing, receiving your word and having a touch from you, experiencing the power and the anointing, your miracle power, your healing power, your evangelistic power. I pray that everybody here, my Lord and my God, the word will be a light unto them. It will be power to them. It will be guidance unto them. It will be a miracle unto them. And we are ready to have an encounter with the word in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us today. Be with us and prosper your word in our lives as never before in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yesterday, I was giving you some stunning statistics as to why we should really do this work. I told you that the world population is 7.9 billion as at November 2021. And Christian population in this 7.9 billion is 31.2%. And Muslim population is 24.7%. Muslim population is about 1.9 billion. And we are just 23.2 billion Christians. Now, I told you the research was done to look at projection as to how these numbers will be in the year 2050, extrapolating from 2010 to 2050. And in 2010, the Christian population was 22 billion. And that 22 billion constitute 34.1% of the world population at the time. And when those projections were done, in 2050, we are still going to be 34.1%. We are still going to be 34.1%. And when we check the numbers, it means that by 2050, we would have added just about 749,740,000 to the population. And when we added that one to the Christian population, it did not increase. it still remains 34.1%. So it tells us that people have left and this number have just come to fit into it. And it's a serious thing that we should look at. But when we check the other one, when we check the other one, in 2010, they were 1.6 billion. But the projection says that by 2050, they're going to be 22.8 billion. And that means they would have added 1.2 billion. And then when you check from 1.6 billion to 1.2.8 billion, they have done more. They have increased and they are moving forward. And that is why I think that Christians of today cannot rest. We seriously need to attend to the call. And I told you that the call is for everyone. Yesterday, I also told you that Paul advised Timothy that be watchful, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And I did say that it means that you cannot fulfill your ministry without becoming an evangelist. That's what that scripture means. It means that you can never fulfill your ministry. The reason is that if you are a chorister and you have been singing and you don't do evangelism, and when you become pregnant and you are a lady and you are asked to have some holidays and you are not there and there's nobody to take after you, it means that that ministry is dying. If you are a prayer warrior and that is your ministry, and then something happens and you are moved from this place and you travel and there is no other person to take after you, it means that that ministry will be no more. So he said, look, beside all things, yes, Timothy, you are a bishop and all of those things, but in order to fulfill your ministry and for your ministry to stand the test of time, you have to be an evangelist. And a lot of us, our ministries will not stand a test of time because we are not doing what the Lord would want us to do. So our ministries will not stand a test of time. And that is why I believe that this conference is a clarion call for all of us who have become adamant and who have become some way and who are sleeping on the job. We are actually sleeping on the job, seriously sleeping on the job. We must wake up. Hallelujah. Tell the person sitting by you, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And so I want to continue by telling you today that we must remember that as God's people, we must remember that as the people of God, what matters to God as a priority is the saving of the souls of lost men everywhere. It's a priority. It is a priority unto God. And I believe that is God's main agenda. In fact, there's no any agenda apart from this agenda to save souls of lost men everywhere. Hallelujah. And I believe that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, when he came to this earth, he made his intentions very clear. His intentions were very clear. Amen? He told us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason why he came. That was his intention. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek. He came to seek. He was moving around looking for people who are not in the vineyard and then bringing them into the vineyard. So you see, Jesus came all the way from heaven, left his heavenly throne, and came for this only one purpose. Purpose only. To seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. All the way from heaven. And you know, after 3 years of his ministry, when he was leaving, he told his disciples that, look, this reason for which I came, you have to continue. And by extension of what he said to his disciple, we were roped in. So by extension, he extended that invitation to every believer, no matter who you are, irrespective of your position, irrespective of what you occupy in society as a Christian, he extended this invitation to us and said that we must continue in this work, this great work of ensuring the salvation of souls in every place of the world. Hallelujah. And so that is why in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, he said, the Bible said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He continued in the 19th, and he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now 20, he said, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. This is Jesus speaking. Now, he didn't end it there. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, he said the same thing. He said, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, he said, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. If that person does not believe, he shall be damned. Hallelujah. He continued again in Luke 24, verse 47. In Luke 24, 47, the Bible said, he said that, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, these words are the words of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you have the red letter edition of the Bible, you will note that all the readings we have done right now, they are written in red, with red ink. Hallelujah. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And you see, when somebody continuously says something, saying it every time, everywhere, then they are deep matters. They are deep matters that concerns the person. And these are the deep matters that were in the heart of Jesus Christ. And he wants us as well to share in these matters which he had upon his heart. Hallelujah. You see, one day the disciples wanted to know the reason why and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And then he said, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. In fact, if you take the Amplified Bible, the Amplifiers amplify the kind of power he was talking about. The Amplified version talks and explain the power as efficiency, ability, and might. So if you are taking it, ye shall receive ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When the Holy Ghost come upon you, you are not going to warm the pew. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you are not going to be loitering around. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the reason why he's coming upon you is that he's going to give you ability, efficiency, and might, which means that as you are doing that work, you are going to be fast on the field. That is the meaning of efficiency. You would be doing such a lot of things within a very short time. And I am praying that as we have seen the statistics that I shared with you and looking at how the pace is going, I believe that we need the Holy Holy Ghost as never before to come upon us and endue us with ability, efficiency, and might, and begin to move and begin to do the work at a faster pace, so that come 2050, we will not be remaining at 34.1%, but come 2050, we are going to have the 15.58% of the 80s and of the people who are so secular and of the people who are non-religious, who moves around constituting 1.2 billion of the earth population and about 15.8%. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have this added to our 34.1%, we are going to hover close to around 50%. And I believe that we need the Holy Ghost in our time to release unto us power in a form of ability, in a form of efficiency, in a form of might, in order to fulfill this great ministry that the Lord has entrusted into our hands. Hallelujah. And we need everyone. We need everyone. You see, not only did Jesus come to seek and save the lost, but you see, before he left, he commanded us. Hallelujah. He commanded us. He gave us command. Because all the scriptures that we have read, it's a command that Jesus gave us. So I want you to lift your right hand and say this after me. Say, I have been commanded. Say, I have been commanded to save the lost. Say, I have been commanded to preach the gospel to the lost in the name of Jesus. And this I will do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Fantastic. You see, this commandment, the good news that I have to share with you is that this commandment was not given to only the apostles. It was not given to Peter only. It was not given to Bartholomew. It was not given to Andrews. It was not given to John. It was not given to the rest of the disciples. It has been extended unto us to ensure the salvation of the lost everywhere in the world. Hallelujah. And so, you see, this commandment has been handed over to Christian generations, from generation unto generation. This commandment has been handed over unto us. And if it is our time, we cannot neglect such commandments in the name of Jesus. Since in the early 18th century, we still had people coming to this place. Yesterday, I was telling you of Johannes Kristaller, who came to Ghana in 1853. Hey, 1853. And when he came, he had to learn how to speak Chi and to write Chi. And then just translated the Bible from English to Chi, so that we can read it. He left Germany, very nice place. In those days, you look at Ghana right now. Look at us. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the road leading to everyone sitting here, your house, is some way. There are serious gullies. When it rains, some of you cannot go to your house. Some of you, when it rains, you have become a meteorologist. You are looking and studying the weather to see when the rain will come, so that if you see that the rain is going to come, what you have to do is to leave your workplace early, because if you are here and the rain starts to come, you will sleep at a certain place. So you have to go early. You have to go early. And somebody left his country, Germany, came here. Very nice place. Oh, Chale, it's a nice place, Mao. You must be there. One day, I was flying to Malawi, and then we passed through Lumumbashi. And when we were in the air, and I looked, in fact, every place was red. I was asking, hey, which place is this? Mercy. Every place. I'm telling you, every place, I was in Malawi, we sat in a car, and then people were chewing raw cassava. I said, hey, what is this? Raw cassava. Why are you chewing raw cassava? Messy. Hey, raw cassava. I'm telling you. So you see, for them to leave, and then bearing the torch of salvation, that's why having Johannes Zimmermann also coming from Germany in 1850, built the Basel missionary schools in Abokobi and then Osu, and did some notable translations in Ghana. They were speaking German language. But by reason of a handed over of a touch of salvation, a touch of salvation, a touch of salvation. And then F.A. Ramsia from Switzerland. I saw him there. When he landed, they captured him, the Ashanti invaders. They captured him in 1869. And he was in prison with the Ashantis for 5 years. Actually, he was freed in 1874. Mercy. And when they freed him, he said, me, something has been handed over to me. Why should I live here and go back to Switzerland? A land of flowers. I cannot do it. I must be here. And then he started missionary work in the Ashanti region. And that's how come we have Basel missions all over the place. And that's how come Presby Church at the Doom has been named after him, Ramsia, by virtue of the great work that he did. What legacy are you leaving? When a torch has been handed over to you, when a baton has been handed over to you to carry the gospel of salvation to every place you are not going, what legacy are you leaving? Ask the person sitting by you, what legacy are you leaving? No legacy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this gospel message is from generation unto generation. You will leave and somebody will come and continue. But if that person is receiving from you, what is he going to receive from you? What is he going to receive from you? And that is why we must take a very deep, we must look at it from a certain perspective, a perspective of urgency, a perspective of necessity to just go and do this work. Paul said, necessity is laid on me. If I don't preach, necessity is laid on me. Necessity is. That's why I told you yesterday that the reason why some of you are afraid to die is that if you die right now, you may end up in hell because you are not ready to die. You are not ready to die. Oh, you are not ready to die. As Christians, we know that when we die, we are going to heaven. So, when you are sick small, the kind of prayers and certain acquaintances that you will do in order for you to live. But when God even grants you life, you still don't want to do what he has asked you to do. We are not ready to die. Because you cannot say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have run my race. I've run my race. And I have kept the faith. Yesterday I was telling you that the reason why some of you are not doing this job, your faith has been attacked. Your faith is under attack. When you used to do something and then all of a sudden you have stopped, your faith has come under attack. And I told you that Satan is not interested in your personality. He is interested in your faith. The reason why he's interested in your faith is that if he succeeds in attacking your faith, he has gotten you. Because when he succeeds in attacking your faith, you'll be sitting at the first row. He will ask you to go and sit at the back row. Anytime you see somebody who used to sit in the front row but has decided to sit at the back row, know that that person's faith has come under attack. The faith has come under attack. Never allow your faith to come under attack. Hallelujah. And so we must promote the kingdom. I said we must promote the kingdom of God. We must ensure that the kingdom of God comes We must ensure that everybody gets saved. Hallelujah. Amen. We must ensure this. Amen. And you see, I'm happy that Jesus Christ says something in John 20:21. He said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so have I also sent you." As my Father. So Jesus is saying that, look, my Father has sent me, and I'm also sending you. And we must know that he has sent, by this scripture, Jesus is sending every believer. If you are a believer and you are sitting here and you can hear me, I know that this conference are to equip us believers to be sharp as far as the work that has been left to us is concerned. And so every one of us, he has sent every one of us. Hallelujah. I said he has sent every one of us. I want to lift up your hand and say that you are right and say, Jesus has sent me. Jesus has sent me. Jesus has sent me. Hallelujah. You see, as you sit in this powerful auditorium, one thing that I want you to remember is that Jesus has sent you to go and save lost people and to preach the gospel to all of them. Hallelujah. And you see, God is interested in winning the whole world. Hallelujah. I said he is interested in winning the whole world. Hallelujah. He's not interested in winning few people. Never. He is not interested in winning few people. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were God and you gave out your only begotten son to come and die and to save people, would you sit down and say that let that salvation be for one person or two people? You would have loved that person, whom that son that you have sent to come and die and save people, will not save only few people. He will save a lot of people. And I think that is why Jesus Christ and God is so much interested in saving a lot of people and not few people. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died for the salvation of the whole world. Yesterday, I told you that hell has not been created for you and for me. Hell has been created for Satan. That is what the Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse 10. It said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the false prophets and the beast will be, and shall be tormented day and night, every day, forever and ever." So, hell has not been created for you. I told you that is the reason why Jesus Christ, when he was talking in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, he said that if your hand offend thee, it's better you chop it off. Because see, that place has not been created for you. And if your hand is what will take you to hell, he said that it is better for you to just cut off that hand and then enter into heaven maimed than to have your two hands in hell, where the fire is not quenched. Verse 44, and the worm dieth not. The worm dieth not. The worm. On this earth, when you see earthworm, the way you behave, some of you are even afraid of earthworms. And then going to a place where worms will be climbing over you from your nose. Everywhere there's an opening. It's an avenue for a worm to pass through. Hallelujah. And you know that all these things are gates. You see, we are not talking about gates, so we won't go there. But this place, your nose, your ears, and your mouth, they are all gates. So every gate on your body, you see the worms coming through nicely and nicely packaged. Mercy. So, you see, we have to rise up and do this work in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you see, that's what the Bible said in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world. You see, God did not say that, the Bible did not say that for God so loved you, your family alone. God did not love your family alone. The Bible did not say that for God so loved your community alone. God, the Bible did not say that for God so loved your friends alone. The Bible did not say that for God so loved your work colleagues alone. The Bible did not say that for God so loved your brothers and sisters alone. The Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I love this song. Even dofu no change Jesus na ofree ni nyami man. The Lord did for us. Where is your love? Where is that love? Where is that love? You see, we have become Christians of today. We know how to talk, but we cannot do any action. We can talk, but we cannot walk the talk. We talk a lot. We talk, but we cannot walk the talk. You see, if you are here this evening, I am challenging you. As you are singing those songs, medow, medow, namasumuye, medow, medow, namasumuye, midi makuma, when you come to church and this song, you must stop singing it. You must stop singing it. Hallelujah. Because it's not true. You don't love him. What shows that you love him? Now, what shows that you love him? The Bible said in John 14, 21, he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will also love him and manifest myself unto him. You want Jesus to manifest himself unto you, but what he says you should do, you are not doing it. How can he manifest himself to you? And when you come, you present a sanctimonious, pious, you know, of yourself before God. And you parade yourself around with an exaggerated opinion of your importance everywhere. You are in church. You tell everybody, yes. I know everybody know Lighthouse. So, oh, Lighthouse, Lighthouse. You are claiming some false fans. You are not doing what we should be doing. What our prophet and our father is teaching us, you are not doing it. You are there. And when they say, hey, Lighthouse for the Muya Dio, you are claiming the fans, but you are not doing what you should be doing. You see, by the grace of God, God has given us a very powerful brand. In fact, when I go to Mankran, so when I tell, oh, Lighthouse, oh, Lighthouse, oh, Lighthouse, oh, Lighthouse, oh, Lighthouse, senior, and yes, sir, Lighthouse, my colleague is in Tepa, some short distance between Mankran, so and Tepa. Amen. unya kind of lighthouse. But you see, what lighthouse is noted for? What lighthouse has to do? What lighthouse is doing? What our prophet is doing? Even the crusade cry, we should be crying on kind of call. You see, you are claiming false fans. False fans. You can't do anything, but you are doing nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. When you are claiming the fans, I told you, you know that you are not doing it. Hallelujah. So we must rise up and do this job. Hallelujah. You see, every believer sitting here, you must have this as a priority. It must be your first concern. Hallelujah. Your first concern is to have somebody come to Christ. When you walk outside there and you see somebody, you see, what must come into your head first is that, is this person saved? You must get close to the person. You should not be afraid. The Bible says that we have not been given the spirit of fear. We have been given the spirit of boldness. Approach the person, because the times are so near. I told you that the times are so near. I told you in Matthew 24 and verse 33 that Jesus said, when you see these signs, then the time is near, and even it is at your door. We are seeing what is happening. Nation arising against nations. Kingdom arising against kingdom. We are seeing the famines. We are seeing the pestilence as it was prophesied by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 and verse 7. We are seeing all of them happening under our naked eyes. But we are sleeping. There must be some sense of urgency in the work that we are doing. As you see somebody on the street, what must come into your mind first? Is this person saved? You have to get to the person. Ask him, brother, my sister, Jesus loves you. Be bold to ask him whether they are saved. If you know somebody in your community that it appears all things are working well for him and is moving around, you see all kinds of things going well in the person's life, tell him that, hey, it is good that things are happening into your life. It is good that milk and honey is flowing into your life. It is good that you are having a good life. But I am asking you one important question, and the question is that, are you saved? Have you taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you taken him as your Savior? That must be something that must be on our mind as we step out there meeting people on our way to work, on our way to market, on our way to school, on our campuses, in the lecture rooms, at our hostels, wherever we find ourselves. The work is for now. The work is not for future. It is not the work of yesterday. It is the work for today. We cannot wait for tomorrow, for we don't know what will happen tomorrow. That is why it is important for you and I to rise up right now in the name of Jesus Christ and begin to do the bidding of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? This is what the Lord wants us to do. Let's put our hands together for our Archbishop and Bishop Ogo. Hallelujah. I believe tonight we are going to be blessed, but I'm waiting for it, seriously. Hallelujah. Because you see, this man, I don't know which of the crusades he has not attended, following this great evangelist. I'm sure there is something that we should learn from him today. Hallelujah. So be expecting something mighty from this great evangelist of our time. Hallelujah. Bishop, you are welcome. Hallelujah. So you have all men to be saved. Hallelujah. And you see, one of the things that I want you to take note is that if you see somebody anywhere, don't underestimate that person. The Bible says a soul is a soul. Hallelujah. And it is precious in the sight of the Lord. That is what the Bible says in Matthew 16, 26. It said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall you give in exchange for your soul? Hallelujah. Minye riasi nye manyinara Namishri mikra Mashrati Miwo Yesua Miwa Tinyina Masubo Sinati Mesi minye riasi nye manyinara Namishri mikra Mashrati nina miwa Yesua miwa tinina masubo. So you see, from today, I am charging you by the grace that is upon this house, that from today, you are going to be concerned for the sinners in the name of Jesus. From today, you are going to love sinners. I'm not saying that love what they do. Love that person, because a soul is a soul. And you see, God wants everyone. He wants to save the whole world, not some people. He's not interested in saving a few. He's interested in saving many. Hallelujah. From today, I am charging you. You are going to be drawn to sinners in the name of Jesus. And from today, you are going to be concerned about sinners in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In about 5-10 minutes, I just want to give you some few blessings, supernatural blessings that comes to you when you become a soul winner. Just some few blessings. You see, there are blessings, blessings. And I want to let you know that blessing is from God. Every blessing, Satan cannot give you any blessing. Blessings, they are from God. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and added. So blessings are from God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it is the Lord that giveth us power to get wealth. Blessings. In Genesis 12, when he said, you bless Abraham, in verse 2, he said, I'll bless you. He blessed him really. That blessing is staying with the descendants till today. So when God says he will bless you, he will bless you. There are various kinds of blessings. Hallelujah. If you are usher in a church, you are projecting, you are playing instruments or whatever, you have your blessing. But there are special blessings. Special blessings for people who win souls. Hallelujah. I said there are special blessings. And one of the blessings I want to quickly bring your way is the blessing of having divine answers. The blessing of having divine answers to your prayers. You see, some of you, you have been praying and you seem not to have answers to your prayers. Amen? You seem not to have it. But the Bible says something in John chapter 15 and verse 16. The Bible said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And then what is the next thing? And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So divine answers. So if you have been praying on something and you are not receiving answers, I am recommending soul winning to you, because you have been chosen to go and bear fruit. The fruit that he's talking about is not mango fruit. It is not orange fruit. It is not guava fruit. It is not banana fruit. He's talking about souls, and he said that I have chosen you to go and bear fruit, and as you bear those fruit, and your fruit remain. Now, the condition is that your fruit should remain. So, you see, if you are the type that you go out there and then you invite people to church, it's not the fruit. When it comes, it won't remain. He said your fruit should remain. If your fruit should remain, then he's talking about you discipling that person and praying for that person to be in the house of the Lord. That person remaining in the house of the Lord. And the reason why our churches are empty, let me tell you, we go to invite people to come to church. They are fruits that does not remain. A fruit not remaining in our church. They come. And most of the time, the fruits you are bringing, they are sheep theft growth. You are growing your church by stealing the sheep of people. Sheep theft growth. In fact, your church is being grown by stealing the sheep of people. Yes. You have never, ever spoken to anybody and seeing that the person says, this word that you have spoken has touched my heart. So I am lifting my hand to receive. You have never done some before. Somebody going to his Roman Catholic and going to his Methodist and going to his Anglican church. You go there and then you use your dancing stars to just lure him to come and tell him that in my church we have dancing stars. In my church, we have good music. So when the person comes and the music is not what he wants and not what he wants to see, he comes the next day, he's out. That is why your prayers are not answers. But there are answers that must come to you. As you win souls, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain and whatsoever. Whatsoever, whatsoever, whatsoever. Some of you, you are in church, you want to marry, you don't want to win souls. I know people who have gone on soul winning and have won souls of men and women whom they have married in the future. You are sitting here now, Obaha, and Edemu had the Obaka say. Me size in here. O size, one and go famra. O size in here. One and catch it up. Your size is not here. Just because, you see, you are not doing what you call relational evangelism. You see, evangelism, one of the powerful evangelism that you can do is to bring your likeness to church. Your likeness, you are a banker. Eh? You want to marry a banker, but you are not winning bankers into the church. You must win bankers into the church so that if your interest is to marry a banker, by virtue of winning bankers to church, you can also have a banker to marry. That is it. Relational evangelism. You see, the one that our prophet is doing, that one you cannot do it. Oh, that one, I bet you cannot do it. Because you now put your BNMP contribution that you are doing is not going anywhere. So you cannot do it. Don't waste your time. What you can do is the relational evangelism. That one you can do it. You can walk to the doorstep of somebody and then preach the word. That one you can do. But to gather people, you don't even have courage to do it. Don't worry yourself. Hallelujah. So it brings divine answers. And I want to challenge you. If you have been praying for something and it's not coming, just decide. Tell God, I'm going to win souls. And just try and see. Hallelujah. I said, just try and see. You see, for some of us, we have even been using it as a covenant with our God. And that covenant has been honored because we said, win souls for the Lord. It's a sure way. Do you know why? You see, most of us, We enter into covenant without thinking about them. You see, when you are going to enter into a covenant with somebody, look at what is dear to the person. Look at what is dear to the person. And you can learn this from Hannah. Hannah needed a son. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, he went to say, God. And at that time, you see, there were no prophets, only Eli. And his sons were also fooling. So there was no somebody who is going to take after that person, after Eli. And Hannah saw it. So when he went to God, he said, give me a son and I will give him back to you. Give me a son and I will give him back to you. Give me a son and I will give him back to you. And now I've told you that souls are dear to the heart of God. His souls are dear to God. Then when you enter into a covenant with him on souls, and you decide that you are going to win souls, I'm telling you, your answers will come speedily in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have time to talk about a lot of them because there's a great man in the house. We are waiting to hear from him so much. But you see, one other thing that you can have from this is that there's also divine maintenance and preservation that comes into your life. The Bible said that every branch in me, John 15 verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, what is God going to purge out of your life? If you are bearing fruit, those orange trees, we have some parasites called mestletoe and whatever coming over them. If you read science, these things are there. One of the sessions, those of us who did A-level, one of the sessions, we were talking about some of these things, botany and the rest. Listen, you see, there are parasites that comes onto a tree. If you have an orange tree and those parasites come, the orange will not bear fruit. Now, as a human being, as a believer in the house of God, what God will do for you in order for you to continue to win souls, he wants to maintain and preserve your life so he will ensure that you will not fall sick. One of the things that God will purge out of your life is to purge sicknesses out of your life. One of the things that God will purge out of your life is to take lack out of your life. One of the things that God will purge out of your life is to ensure that you are not disturbed, is to ensure that attack doesn't come onto your life. Those are the mental. Every tree that bears fruit, he purges it. May God purge us. May God prepare us. May God cause us to stand for him, even in this time. And as we stand for him and do what he says we should do, I believe that our lives will never be the same. There's also supernatural beauty that comes unto us. You become very beautiful. The Bible said that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You become very beautiful. Hallelujah. You also have signs and wonders following you. You want to see signs and wonders, you don't want to win souls. And this sign shall follow them, Mark 16:17. And this sign shall follow them. And this sign shall follow them. If you believe and you do, the sign shall follow you. As I bring this message to a close, I want to encourage you. There are supernatural blessings meant for only soul winners. Not for people who usher people into church. Not for keyboard players. Not for guitar players. Not for people who do projection in church. Not for people who come to clean the church. They have their blessing. But when we talk of these supernatural blessings, it comes only to people who will rise up unto the mandate that the Lord God has given unto us to go out there and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As you do this, may your life never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. And in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I want you to pray and say, Father, grant me that heart. A heart that will love souls. A heart that will love sinners. A heart that will be concerned for sinners. A heart that will make me fulfill my God-given mandate of doing the work of an evangelist. Pray in the name of Jesus. And your last prayer, you want to pray and say, oh Lord, plant daily on my path people that need salvation, people that need deliverance. Plant them in my way and help me to be courageous enough and be bold to share the gospel of salvation unto them in the name of Jesus. May your life never be the same as you fulfill this divine mandate of heaven in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. And let everyone say, Amen. Amen.